Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. Well, if you're all settled in after a fabulous holiday and you're feeling like you really want to start thinking about what do I want to do with investing? Strange subject for a Monday? Not really. The headlines in Seattle, Washington over the weekend were filled with all kinds of information regarding real estate. And my guest today, James Pockross, this is a man that has put together some material that I think is really valuable if you're wanting to do something with your money and you're saying, maybe I'd like to get into real estate, but you want to know the variables with it. This is a must-have book. In fact, even if you're in real estate, I think that there are areas of insight that James can provide that really will assist you. James Pockross, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Donna. I'm glad to be on.
Well, it's a delight having you. I always appreciate when people are able to put together information that empowers other people to understand business. Let's face it, money does make the world go round on multiple levels. If we didn't utilize that as a medium of exchange, we'd be dealing with cows, turkeys, and whatever, and that's not as convenient. Real estate has been an area that always has been something in the minds of many, a very valuable resource to utilize. Now, you've been a real estate investor for 25 years plus.
Mm-hmm.
You have done all kinds of financial arrangements. You currently are the owner of 270 units. You belong to all kinds of different organizations. You have a background, interestingly enough, as a hospital administrator, also as a policy analyst for the Hospital Trade Association. You've been licensed to sell insurance. You've got all kinds of interests. I mean, you're a very, very busy man. But let's go into some of the background about you.
Okay.
Because you didn't just jump into real estate and go Yahoo and make $50 billion in one day. I mean, we hear all of this hype all the time. Tell us the beginning of your journey and why is real estate so significant to you?
Beginning of the journey started in 1980. I was working as a hospital administrator in Pittsburgh, and my job wasn't going well. The higher ups lost confidence in me, and I would just sit in my office and listen to people complain about their hospital bills. And one of the vice presidents I work with said, Albert Lowry's coming to town, and he has a very interesting approach to investing. And Jim, I know you're interested in investments. Listen to what Al Lowry has to say. So I went, and it was nothing more than a big sales pitch to go to his weekend seminar. But what impressed me was that he had two people that seemed to be idiots. That said that they made a fair amount of money with what they learned in the seminar, and when they said how much they made, it was like about half of my annual salary, and it sure took a lot less work and a lot less stress. So I was living in Pittsburgh, and I'm from Chicago, and I said to myself that night, I made a vow, if these idiots can do it, I can do it. I will get out of my job in Pittsburgh, get back to Chicago, get a job there, learn what I can about real estate. I'll read the guy's books, and I will go out and become financially independent in investing in real estate because I don't want to be beholden to a job.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what started me on the journey, and it's been a long, strange journey. But I got back, and the first year I focused on doing well on my job because I didn't want to, lose my job again. And I read a bunch of books, and then one day in April of 1981, I got in my car and started driving around areas, looking at potential areas for investments. And I would go through alleys, and I'd look at to see if there was any graffiti, and then I'd see what kind of people were hanging around and so forth, and then I identified an area which was on the north side of Chicago. I don't know how many of the listeners are familiar, but that's near Lincoln Park, DePaul, Lakeview, those are very favorable areas in the Chicago area.
Mm-hmm.
Then I decided, all right, I was making $24,000 at the time. I would save roughly half of my salary. So, you know, I guess America, maybe 5% is what people save. I was saving about 50% of my net income, and I saved $10,000 in a year period of time. And when I was looking around, one day a 6-unit apartment building came up for sale, and one of the real estate agents that knew I was serious about buying real estate, she called to say, Jim, there's a 6-unit building at such and such an address. I think it's a good deal. Now, I'm not a guy that was booming with confidence, and when I looked at the building, it was a Saturday. It was the Saturday before Christmas, actually, in 1981, and my girlfriend, Michelle, at the time, went with me, and another guy that was very interested in real estate, a fellow named Fletcher, who was actually a professor of law at DePaul, and he was a Harvard Law School graduate, so he had some brains upstairs. They both went with me to look out of curiosity. Made the decision easy to make an offer on the building. Fletcher said, if you don't make an offer, I'll make an offer. And then Michelle said to me, Jim, you're a fool not to buy this because I know you've been looking and it looks like it's a good deal. We're through if you don't buy the building.
Yes,
so I had a couple of extra motivations there.
Yes, you did, but we want to let people know that are listening.
Yes.
That Michelle is someone that you were dating at the time, and
yes.
That's what it means when she said, if you don't do this, then you're an idiot. So
I have 25 years of happy marriage with her at this point, and I tried to reward her with that with a replacement diamond ring for our 25th anniversary, which was a lot nicer than the one that I got her in 1984. But anyway, so I put an offer in. There were actually, it was a really bad time in real estate. Inflation was at about 18% at the time. Money
mm-hmm.
markets were paying over 20%. Or the prime rate was over 20, actually. Money markets were at 18. Three offers came in on the building in a really lousy market. We got the thing because they were asking 85 and we paid $85,700 in the $25,000 down. I got a relative of mine that was a close relative, he put in 15, I put in 10, and we bought the building, and we were at least had a building under our name beginning on March 8, 1982. The classical formula, which it's very hard to find, and you're out of Tacoma, aren't you,
yes.
Anna?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and because I've been to Seattle, I've only driven through Tacoma, I've never really spent very much time there, is you want to have properties in a good location that are run down, that can use cosmetic upgrading, and where the rents are low. And the building kind of fit that mold. So I remember the very first day I took my first management job is it snowed on March the 8th, so I went over there and I shoveled the walk. Then I called all the tenants to say I'm the new owner and manager and wanted to meet with them to talk about my plans for the building, which was to have an intercom system to put up storm windows. It had 30 amperes of electricity for the building, meaning that if three hair dryers were going at the same time, that's more electrical than the building could handle. Or if someone was, several people were ironing. It had terrible electric service, and things were always blowing out all the fuses and everything like that. So I told them that, and I said, I've got to raise the rents. I actually spent time before I took over the building going through all the buildings that were similar in the neighborhood, so I knew what the rents were. So I raised everybody about 20%. And within 2 months, we had a positive cash flow situation. And the building was truthfully a very solid performer for the 15 years we owned it. We eventually sold it, I think, in 1997. We paid $85,700. We sold it for $360,000. And then I used that money in what's called a 1031 exchange, a like-kind exchange or a trade is what the lingo in the real estate business is. And myself and some other investors, the cousin was with me and another cousin, another friend of mine, we bought a 67-unit building in Milwaukee. And it's kind of exciting because in about a week, we're going to pay that off. And that's,
okay, now I want to stop you right there
sure.
for just a moment, James, because this is a lot of good information because this is your personal experience, but I do want to mention to my listeners, because I neglected to mention this, that your book is called The Confessions of a Real Estate Mini Mogul. Now, when you put this book together, one, it's very well organized, and
thank you,
I wanted to make a couple of comments because one of the first questions you present to the reader of Confessions of a Real Estate Mini Mogul is you have to have determination. You have to realize this isn't going to be a piece of cake like so many people like
no.
to think it's going, like to make you think it's going to be. You need a lot of persistence. You've got to have people skills. You've got to be decisive, which is part of the story about you and Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be optimistic. You've got to have knowledge, though. You can't go in with a fluff head type of an attitude.
Mm-hmm.
Self-confidence is good, and the one that really, really got me was mechanical aptitude, and we'll go into that a little bit.
Yeah.
You want to have a passion for this. So you really should ask yourself if this is what you want to do. And integrity is absolutely mandatory. And you've got to add, subtract, multiply, and divide. And I'm going through these quickly for a reason.
Okay.
You say it takes courage, you've got to have self-control, and you have to have the desire to improve your life. Now, one of the points that you brought out, actually, there were multiple points that I thought were quite significant.
Mm-hmm.
When you decided you were going to do this, you started saving money. You
yes.
didn't immediately go out and try to secure a loan to do this. You said, no, if I'm going to do this, and at the time you were single,
mm-hmm.
so you said, this is what I'm going to do, and you saved 50% of your income. I'm sure that when my listeners heard that, they thought, oh, my goodness, this man had to have been making $250,000 a year. You did not, though.
No.
You were an average-paying job, but you made this choice. And for 1 year, that and reading and studying and looking at things and then developing links with people, including Michelle, who
mm-hmm.
you ended up marrying and you've been married to for so many wonderful years,
mm-hmm.
all of this is part of the package. Why is it that when you go to these seminars or people will talk about it, they dish out all this hype that, man, everybody's going to be a multimillionaire? It takes work.
It takes work, and for me it takes time. I haven't seen very many successful graduates of these programs, so to put it, that have net worths of $1 million that started at zero. I'm sure there's some people that do that. I haven't seen very many come out that way. I've gone to one seminar, and I was involved with some groups that went to seminars, and maybe the seminar people are going to shoot me or something. I'd say it's an extremely low percentage of people that attend that become successful.
Mm-hmm.
People have other priorities in their life, or it's not so easy, and they probably give up after 2 or 3 years. Maybe they buy a property, it doesn't work out so well. I didn't pay off the first building. I never took money out of buildings. Only when it's paid off do I take money out to live on or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It took 17 years.
Mm-hmm.
It was like 1999, I think, that I paid off building number one.
Now, let's make some clarification here. You opted to do investment in buildings, not necessarily houses, because there's also another arena, and like I mentioned right at the beginning of the show, there were headlines in the Sunday paper here in the Pacific Northwest
mm-hmm.
about people that are turning houses and they're making money. And, of course, it always sounds so glamorous, but I've known people that have done this.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the amount of work and the evaluations that they have to go through.
Mm-hmm.
This and in a time when economy is really, really bad. So many people have lost their jobs. There are a lot of homes that are up on the foreclosure block.
Yes.
So you have so many things that are going on. But you made a comment earlier that I thought was significant. In the 80s,
mm-hmm.
the real estate market was terrible. Here in the
mm-hmm.
state of Washington,
mm-hmm.
you couldn't give the houses away because the interest rates were so high.
Mm-hmm.
And people couldn't get work here, in the Pacific
right.
Northwest anyway. They were
right.
dying.
Yeah. No, I've wondered about that, but that was in the 1980s, it was like that?
Right.
Or,
Right, and we've had things off and on, but that in the early 1980s, if someone had the capacity to buy a home, it was a phenomenal opportunity because nothing was moving. Mm-hmm. Developers were losing money, and it's happening right now again, but interestingly enough, interest rates are very, very low.
Right.
But
wonderful
they
time.
Can't get the money. So what you talked about when you said you linked up with other people who said, yes, I like this idea, I will support you,
mm-hmm.
boy, that's what people need to keep in mind, too, that there are ways of working a financial package so it can be a win-win for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, I had investors that I was close to that had cash that put money in, because I personally like to have a fairly high down payment because I dread what's called a negative cash flow.
Mm-hmm.
I want to sleep at night as best as I can. So that certainly is one avenue for your listeners. If they don't have enough cash, they can find people with cash. There are complexities when you have partners. In the book, I have a chapter on You Don't Have to Go It Alone, I think it's the name of the chapter, that talks about the pros and cons of having investors and then how to structure the deal when you do have investors so that it works out okay for you financially.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I would say there.
And that's something that one, if you're interested in working in the real estate arena, and I've talked with realtors mm-hmm. recently who were so discouraged because there is this special federal funding benefit of $8,000
right.
or something like that, that when
right.
you buy, this is what you get. Well, that's ending. And so there are so many people in the real estate market, especially with homes and things like this, they go, oh, my goodness, this is just going to go in the toilet now. There's no chance to make any money. We're going to have a terrible time. But it's like anything else. There are always going to be some people who want to buy, and we are living in a very serious economic situation
yes.
where a lot of people are losing their homes. I'm seeing a lot of business buildings being
right.
abandoned. And you have to have tenants in those business buildings.
Yes. Yeah, it's very hard if you don't have tenants and expenses
right.
to pay.
So these are all things that have to be looked at. You have some pretty funny stories about some of the tenants that you have had, which just about everybody I know has if
yes,
they have a building.
Yes, you have to have kind of thick skin. I don't know if thick skin is the right word, but you have to be ready to experience some interesting events in your life. I would have, as people have often asked me to tell me about your worst tenants, I guess I'd have to say the ghost that I had. The ghost scared all my tenants away and refused to pay the rent. And I guess maybe I was building up credits for a future life or something like that. But I had a building in a town called Aurora, Illinois. It's about 40 miles west of Chicago. And the, it was a three-unit building, very nice building. A judge used to own, and it was each apartment was two bedrooms and 1,500 square feet, and he had a lot of very nice natural woodwork. And I could never keep the third-floor apartment rented. The people always seemed to lose their jobs or run out of money, and I always was evicting people from the apartment. So it was empty at one point in time, and then my tenant that was on the second floor, that was a very good tenant, a very religious lady, got in an argument with her boyfriend one night, and she went to cool off in the third-floor apartment, which I guess the door was open because we had the door open because that way real estate agents could show the apartment without having to fiddle around with keys and everything. So she claimed that a ghost came and scared her away, and the ghost had blonde hair and was a female, and the ghost said, "This is my apartment, get out, never come back." So she called me to tell me about this. So I listened and went in one ear and I, what can I do about a ghost? I mean, you can believe in ghosts or you cannot believe in ghosts. So a week later, totally independent of her, the guys on the first floor on a Friday night decide to go drinking, and then they decide to finish up their night on the third floor apartment, and the same thing happened. And this lady with blonde hair came out. Not an apparition, not a real live person, that scare them quite a bit to say, this is my apartment, get out, never come back. So, they had the same description as the lady number one. So then I called the guy that sold me the building to say, people have reported a ghost sighting on the third floor apartment. Do you know anything about this? And then he confessed that he, too, had witnessed the ghost. Now, I'd been up there a lot. I've never seen the ghost. And that it was actually a former, the description matched a former tenant that lived in the apartment that liked the apartment a lot, and she committed a crime and was put in prison. And she died in a fight in prison, and I guess she ended up where she really liked being. So that matched. And then about a week later, I then checked about disclosure laws, about haunted apartments, but there was nothing to protect me there. And I have a good relationship with the guy that sold me the building. So about a week later, I get a call from the lady in the second floor. She tells me that the building burned down last night. And
one way to get rid of a ghost.
Well, I guess, I don't know about ghosts. The story ends, I got a lot of money on a insurance settlement, and then I sold the building to a fire rehab guy, and then he sold the building to the city of Aurora that tore the building down. Now, I don't know, I made money, he made money, the city of Aurora was happy that the building was torn down. I don't know whatever happened to the ghost. If the residence of the ghost is destroyed or whatever, I don't know where ghosts end up going, if such entities exist. But that was an adventuresome situation.
James, in your book, you go through really some good basics.
Thank you.
You talk about the various aspects of real estate investing that one can do. And you give both the pros and the cons from your perspective and experience. But you also go into what makes a good deal and also about working the numbers. Let's take a moment or two and talk about that, because I think that is important. Just because something sounds hot doesn't mean it's going to be the right thing to put your money into and your energy and time. By the way, my listeners need to know, you were working in the insurance industry while you were also doing this. Am I correct?
Somewhat. I got a license to sell insurance in 1991 and started selling insurance in 1992. At that time, I think I had four or five apartment buildings, but my wife said she was going to retire when she hit age 50, and there better be enough money coming in to support her in the lifestyle that she'd become accustomed to. When I looked at the portfolio of buildings when she made that comment, there was a giant gap between the lifestyle she'd become accustomed to and what the income produced by the buildings was. So I decided, let me try selling insurance. I have some kind of a healthcare background. I was voted in my high school class as the shyest male in the class, so I'm not your classical salesperson of insurance. But I do have determination and persistence, and I started knocking on doors, and I built up my insurance business to be a very lucrative business over 17 years, and I'm very grateful for that. So there was, since 1992, I've been doing insurance in addition to running the buildings, and I expanded quite a bit since 1992, so it's partially true, but I was sort of creatively unemployed from probably 1988 to 1992. So just kind of running buildings, and my wife would be thrilled when I would take naps in the middle of the day and think about what's my purpose in life and all these other esoteric questions when she was working hard to bring in money to keep me going. But now probably the table's turned, and she'll probably want to leave her job at some point, and there's enough money to support her in the lifestyle she has become accustomed to, which is a pretty nice lifestyle for her.
Well, I would imagine. You also bring up, I don't know if we're going to have enough time to go into working the numbers, but you bring up some very specific things also about lending programs, about taxation, grants, tax breaks, all of these items that have to be looked at, because there can be fees that you're not expecting. There can be fines. and you've got zoning regulations, all kinds of things, and people need to know how to protect themselves. And you do a very good job in your book, James, of bringing out as much information as you can. What has been the biggest challenge for you, James, that was one of the biggest lessons for you relative to real estate?
I don't know. I guess it's sort of a challenge to build confidence in doing the real estate. Not so much like, you know, rehabbing building number one or rehabbing building number two. It's more having, I'll say, feelings of inadequacy or underconfidence that I can do this. But having to put one foot in front of the other or make one deal after another, hope for the best, and keep growing and getting larger and more confident, I think that's been the greatest challenge for me.
I'd say that's the challenge that almost anybody would probably say that would be a big one to them, too, because it's easy to talk it, but it's not always easy to walk the walk of experience, because you have to be prepared. You're going to get kicked in the teeth once in a while.
Yes, yes. Speaking, getting kicked in the teeth, I've had it all my life 3 times when I went out to get involved with an eviction that I may not come back. And I've never been punched by a tenant. They've called me names like Mr. Cockroach and Mr. Pot Roast, but I've had to do a lot of physical work, but I've survived.
Mm-hmm.
It's survivable.
Yes. And it is, it's an environment where you have to look at it, and I just think you've done a wonderful job. Now, James' book, if you want to get it, is Confessions of a Real Estate Mini Mogul. Now, what it's going to do, it's going to share with you information about how you can succeed, if you so desire, in your own real estate investing, regardless, ghosts like he had,
mm-hmm.
Tenants that can be just absolutely annoying, and also the government with all of its rules. There still is an opportunity. If you want to look at it, you can achieve what he has, which is a level of financial independence,
yeah,
which everyone is always interested in having. James, do you have a website people can go to?
Yes, a few comments. You can go to samsonpub.com.
Mm-hmm.
You could, order a book from there and so forth. I also have a radio program I host. I don't know if...
Where is that?
You go to www.webtalkradio, 12
mm-hmm.
letters, one word, webtalkradio.net.
Wonderful.
And then you click on show host James Pockross, and you can download shows. There's no charge, and I have a lot of experts in different areas about environmental firms that fix up buildings. I've got a guy that talks about foreclosures. I have an attorney that talks about short sales, which is another hot topic right now. Tomorrow I'm going to interview the president of the bank where I owe them about $1 million, and he's going to talk about commercial lending. So I have a guy that does syndicated investments. He was on 2 or 3 times. So I have a variety of people.
Wonderful.
And it's wonderful.
Well, James, I so appreciate you being my guest today.
A pleasure.
Your book is excellent.
Thank you,
Confessions
Dana.
Of a Real Estate Mini Mogul. Very good, down-to-earth, practical information, and lots of it. And it's easy to assimilate. So if money is something you want to make do a tap dance for you in a different way, and real estate is something you're curious about, this is a must-read kind of a book. James Pockross has been my guest. His website is samsonpub.com. You can go there and get his book. Also, you can hear him on webtalkradio.net. This is Donna Siebel. Again, James, thank you. This is Donna Siebel. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just
Good.
A moment.
Okay.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sivo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's T-TAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, TTAP.com.
Hi, this is Donna, and wow, I hope you had a fabulous holiday weekend. I know I did, and I want to express my appreciation to the wonderful people that we were interacting with in Victoria, British Columbia over this holiday weekend. It was just is a magnificent city, and if ever you have a chance to go, you should go. The people there are so gracious, so absolutely wonderful, and it was our first time in many years, and I could not believe the development there. And of course, just about everybody knows about the magnificent Empress Hotel, which is so very old, but what a great facility. So Christmas lights went up while we were there. Ah, yes, the Christmas holiday, it's right there. Tomorrow will be the 1st of December, and there's just so much going on everywhere, and all the lights are being turned on, and all kinds of activities are being done, and so it's just a wonderful time of the year. And when you have a chance to travel again to a place like Victoria, which is absolutely magical, it's wonderful. Well, telephone lines are open, and if you'd like to chat with me and let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, I would be delighted to do exactly that. Now, here is the toll-free worldwide number if you'd like to call in and chat with me. It's 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And all I need from you is your first name or your initial. And then I would love to know where you're calling in from. I'll give you what information I see, and after that, you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that may be of concern to you. And when I was talking with James Pockross earlier, I mentioned about the local newspaper here in the Seattle area, and I was really pleasantly surprised to find out about all of the positive comments that were coming up regarding the real estate market. The flipping of houses, where someone will find a home and upgrade it and then turn around and sell it. Well, apparently, even though there have been many, many people that have lost jobs here in the Pacific Northwest, there's a lot of people that want to move into the area. So they have been finding that there are buyers. So this is just a fascinating thing to observe, because when you hear about many things via aspects of media, it will paint such a picture of doom and gloom that the people that are utilizing whatever is being done, I'm not talking about throwing people out of their homes or anything like that. I'm talking about people that say, I can take what is a negative situation and put it into a positive positioning. So these are things that can happen, and it takes resourcefulness when we're in difficult times to create change. And life is always a series of ups and downs. There's no straight line with anything. And I want to share with you a story that's an extreme one. And before I came back from the break, I was joking with Don, the engineer, and I was saying, gee, Don, there's a cute little place in Los Angeles. It's in the Holmby Hills district. It's up for sale, and it's only $150 million. Right. Now, this is a cute little house. It's got 56,500 square feet. Can you imagine keeping that house clean? Uh-huh. I guarantee you. The lady that owns it, Candy Spelling, Aaron Spelling's wife, is not doing the housework, I guarantee you. And I've got a photo of it in front of me, and it's absolutely gorgeous. But the price on her house, well, there aren't going to be a whole bunch of people that are going to be rushing in to buy it. Why? Because it's extremely expensive. There aren't very many people that have the capacity of making payments on a home worth $156 million, $150 million. But that's okay. They realize that this is something that's going to take time, and she's not willing to just give it up. She doesn't have to. And there are people around the world that have the capacity of doing this, have the capacity of buying the home, and someone is eventually going to buy. Now, there are four U.S. homes priced at $100 million or above. Now, this is according to Forbes.com's most expensive homes list. And there is a home that comes into second positioning of at only a mere $125 million, Fleur-de-Lis, also in Holmby Hills. Now, this is a 53,000-square-foot palatial compound, and it was withdrawn because they are not going to, they're taking it off the market. They're going to put it back up after the first of the year. And this is owned by the ex-wife of a Texas entrepreneur. And these are homes that these people live in. This isn't like a vacation home. These are people that are very happily living in these magnificent palatial places. But it's just fascinating to be able to see the various levels of what's available out there in the marketplace. And now, there is another house. It's only a four-bedroom, five-bathroom house, 6,392 square feet. It's just down the street from this one that's $150 million. It's only $17 million. I mean, gee whiz, that's nothing. That's pocket change. Well, I want you to know that the number one house relative to price, the Spelling home, this is a three-story home. It was customized to Aaron Spelling's needs. His wife, Candy, supervised the work, and they've got there a bowling alley, a flower cutting room, a wine cellar tasting room. It also has your own personal barber shop, a silver storage room, and there's a lot of areas in this palatial home for specific purposes. They also have a tennis court, a koi pond, gardens, a citrus orchard, a swimming pool with a pool house. Oh, and if you have company, there is a motor court that can accommodate 100 vehicles, and also for their guests, they have 16 carports. Now, there is a service wing that houses staff. No kidding, you'd need one for this house. There's five maid's bedrooms and two butler suites. The house has more than 100 rooms, and she wants to downsize. Now, her house that she's living in is 56,500 square feet. She wants to go to a meager 16,500 square foot condo. And she bought the top two floors of a Los Angeles building in the summer of 2008 for $47 million. Yes, cutting down is a good thing. Don't you agree? I couldn't pass that one up. It's just amazing. But that's what makes life so interesting. All of these various people doing their many different things. Would you want a home that has 56,500 square feet? Well, if you had the money for it, you could have the staff to keep it in order. And that would be wonderful. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you would like to chat. Telephone number 888-815-9756. Now, I want to let you know, we have got a wonderful lineup of guests this week. We are going to be talking with some people who are involved in producing movies. We're going to be talking with a wonderful woman who produced The Quantum Activist by Amit Goswami. Now, Amit is very, very well known in the area of quantum science. This man is highly respected, and he travels around the world. And he was going to be on the air with me, but an emergency came up where he had to take a flight because of some changes, some situations evolved. So we're going to have an associate that's going to be on instead of him. And in the spring, we're going to have Amit after he gets back from India. It's called The Quantum Activist, and this movie is very, very well done. So we're going to be talking about that tomorrow. And then we're going to be on Tuesday talking about a Christmas book. It's called The Christmas Swap, and it's a lot of fun to read. Janet Martin is going to be my guest. And then on Wednesday, Jay Wigner is going to be with me. We're going to be talking about another movie called Infinity. And this is a movie that deals with what he perceives is the opportunity of the future. And then also, we are going to be talking with a wonderful woman that I've known for years. Joan Anderson is a very recognized author. Her book is Moms Go Where Angels Fear to Tread, and also Where Miracles Happen. Joan has been a guest on my shows previously through the years, and she is a charming, delightful woman and has some of the most wonderful stories about angels and miracles that I know that you will enjoy, and it's just going to fit our holiday season quite beautifully. So all of this information is going to be up on the VBS website. It'll be up by tomorrow morning, so you'll be able to check out all the different guests and see what we've got in the way of a lineup. So again, we are going to be ready to take your calls. If you want to give me a buzz, 888-815-9756. Now, one of the things I want to share with you today is a little bit of astrological insight for these upcoming winter months, and also some recipes and all kinds of good tidbits of information, including some health tips that are real simple, things that you can have around the house that if you feel like something's going to be bothering you, well, we've got some suggestions for you there. This is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz again if you'd like to chat today, 888-815-9756. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, ttap.com.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass.
in the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Well, now remember, if you want to talk to me today, give me a buzz, 888-815-9756. Oh, don't forget, if you'd like to give someone a special gift and you would like to give them a reading, I'd be happy to send a gift certificate to that individual. I just thought I would mention that because I'm getting requests, and all you need to do is just give me a call at my office, 800-872-8852, and I'm happy to send the certificate, the gift certificate to you or to that person that maybe you want to give that very holiday, that unique holiday gift to. All right, let's talk about a winter horoscope for a moment. Let's start off with Aries. Now, by golly, if you're single, I want you to know that during this winter period that we're coming very close to, you're going to find that you have got a lot going on in your personal life that's going to perhaps give you an opportunity to meet that special person. But also, for those of you under the sign of Aries, a lot of family activity that is going to be requiring your attention. And you need to know that during the month of December, you're going to find that there is a lot that if you pay attention and keep your attitude in the right place and prepare yourself, you may have a surge in your career that you weren't even expecting. And you will find that means the most to you is going to be able to be enjoyed, and you're going to be able to achieve quite a bit. If you'd love to travel, if you're under the sign of Aries, then by golly, there is going to be that opportunity. Maybe not to exactly where you want to be during the month of December, but start saving those dollars and put a picture of where it is that you'd like to go up someplace where you look at it all the time. And just know that somehow you're going to have the opportunity to go where it is that your imagination is taking you and where you want to really have a good time. Social activities, again, are going to be wonderful for you. And, you know, in February, it seems like something you will have worked for very, very hard is actually going to become yours. And for those under the sign of Taurus, romance, well, it looks like there's a possibility here. However, if you are looking for that Mr. Wonderful or Miss Wonderful and you're under the sign of Taurus, you want someone that's really interesting, intriguing. You're going to be busy this holiday season, but you are going to find that during the winter months there's going to be an opportunity for you to meet some very special individuals. Also, you really cherish your home life. It means a lot to you. And if you are having to work two jobs, if you're under the sign of Taurus, keep your eyes and ears open because you may find that job that really you would like to have. Keep looking. Don't give up. But that will also pay you the salary that you really want, especially after the middle of January going into February. So keep your options open. Travel If you would love to just take a short trip somewhere, you're going to find that in January, you're going to have the opportunity to really go and do some little mini trips that are going to be very, very important for you. And our third sign today, how about Gemini? Yes, you really need to take care of yourself. You're doing far too much. You need to really be aware, especially as we're coming into the holiday season. Don't go extreme. Lighten up a little bit. Look at how you can nurture yourself, take care of what you need to take care of, and have a good time with yourself. That sounds a little strange, but enjoy your own company so that you can enjoy the company of other people. Give yourself some downtime. And finances, well, it might be a little tight for those of you under the sign of Gemini, but if you use good sense, you're going to find you don't have to have a lot of financial stress. There's going to be a way for you to do your gift giving and keep your financial life in order. So you don't need to go off the deep end dollar-wise. Be prudent, and you can still have a phenomenal holiday season. And you might be very surprised when someone may offer you an opportunity to do some traveling after the first of the year. Just be aware there is going to be wonderful gifts that are going to be given to you in ways that you would never have imagined. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you would like to chat. 888-815-9756. Well, I said I had a recipe for you, and I do. And this is something that is really easy to fix. And I don't know about you, but I find people, if I've entertained and I serve a recipe that's with chicken wings, they disappear. Whether they're made with a teriyaki sauce, whether they are made with hot sauce, they just seem to be everybody's favorite. So I came across this recipe by Tyler Florence, and I thought, this is really easy, and it has a whole different taste, and I think people would enjoy it. So if you've got a pad of paper and a pen, grab it, because this is what you need. You need 4 pounds of whole chicken wings. You need some extra virgin olive oil. You need a little bit of kosher salt and ground pepper. You're going to need a half a cup, one stick of unsalted butter, and that should be at room temperature. You need a tablespoon of honey, 2 teaspoons of Thai red curry paste, and you can buy this in most grocery stores. And then you want to have 1 lime, and you want to grate the zest off of the lime, and you want to then get as much juice out of that lime as you can. You need a little bit of soy sauce, just a splash or so, and then you can use cilantro leaves or garnish. This is how easy it is. You preheat your oven to 425 degrees, and of course you want to rinse your chicken wings and then pat them all dry. And you want to put them in a big bowl, drizzle with the olive oil, season with salt and pepper, and then you toss them. Use your hands. Just toss them. And so that all the pieces are coated. And then you want to have a baking sheet. You might want one. If you've got a real big oven, you can use one, or you could use 2 baking sheets. And you want to spread the wings out on the baking sheet. You roast them for 25 to 40 minutes until they get nice and crisp and brown. And, of course, the meat's going to be just so tender. Then your butter, your honey, while that's cooking, your red curry paste, the lime zest and juice, the soy sauce, put it in a blender and just zap it. Season it with a little bit of salt and blend mix. And then you scrape your curry lime butter into a large bowl. And when the wings come out, you put them into the bowl that has this mixture and give them a toss, and they're ready to serve. You just want to make sure you toss them well. Great. Serves up to 6 people. Easy recipe. Well, my goodness, we're out of time. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. This is Donna Sebo, and have a fabulous, fabulous evening. Get out. Get that exercise routine back in, because Thanksgiving's passed, but ooh, we got some goodies coming up. Donna Sebo here. Talk with you tomorrow. Same time, same place. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.